Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. A supermajority of Republicans in the Tennessee House have voted to expel two Democrats who had earlier taken part in noisy floor demonstrations calling for new gun safety laws.
Nashville State Representative Justin Jones was the first to be expelled from the Tennessee House in a procedure rarely used since the Civil War.
A state in which the Ku Klux Klan was founded is now attempting another power grab by silencing the two youngest black representatives and one of the only Democratic women in this body.
Democratic lawmakers loudly supported gun safety advocates in the legislative gallery days after six people, including three children, were fatally shot at the Covenant School in Nashville. Tom Foti, CBS News.
Another Democrat, a white woman, survived an expulsion attempt by one vote. CBS News has learned that some of the people who protect former President Trump are going to be giving testimony today, says CBS's Nicole Skanga.
A handful of former and current U.S. Secret Service officials are slated to testify before a Washington, D.C. grand jury. The grand jury appearance is connected to Special Counsel Jack Smith's investigation into the handling of classified documents by former President Trump at his Mar-a-Lago estate.
The Biden administration is pushing back on Republican-governed states that are imposing restrictions on transgender athletes. CBS's Ed O'Keefe has that.
The proposed change would make categorically banning all transgender athletes a violation of Title IX, the federal law barring schools from discriminating on the basis of sex. Just this week, Kansas became the 20th state to impose a blanket ban. But the new rule would also allow K-12 schools and universities to restrict, in some cases, the participation of transgender students if it undermines fairness on the field or could lead to injuries.
The killer of Cash App founder Bob Lee is still at large. Lee was stabbed early Tuesday morning on a street in San Francisco. More on that from CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti.
Chilling new details about tech pioneer Bob Lee's final moments.
He was holding his side.
Reporter Jonah Lamb saw surveillance videos that trace Lee's steps after he was stabbed. It was early Tuesday, about 2:30 in the morning.
He approaches a white sedan Camry, lifts his shirt as if to ask for help. Car drives away. He falls down.
The motive for the killing is unclear. The San Francisco DA has told CBS News that Lee was found with his cell phone on him. Brooks Koepka, John Rahm, and Victor Hovland are in a three-way tie to lead the Masters. Koepka opened with a 65. Hovland played bogey-free. Tiger Woods limped his way to a 74. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and maximum success with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com.
Ready for a journey to Flavortown? Head over to Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill. They've been serving up the best food in Wrigleyville for 8 years and counting. From their famous smoked chicken wings to their tempura-battered cheese curds, every bite is a trip to flavor heaven. And with hospitality that's second to none, you'll feel right at home. So why wait until after the game? Rev up your taste buds and join them at Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill at 3478 North Clark Street in Chicago. Check out their menu on Facebook.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. We'll be right back.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
The issue with Milwaukee schools, just not enough high-quality schools.
Weekdays 11 to 2.
You can talk about everything else. You can talk about the funding. You can talk about school choice and for it or against it. But there's not enough Hope Christian schools. There's not enough St. Marcus schools. There's not enough Kings. There's not enough Reagans.
And until we fix that,
Milwaukee public schools really isn't going to change.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bride on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
It's great to be here to speak directly to the woke mob.
The liberals have basically made up this whole agenda that guacamole is made of avocados. It's not the truth.
Ticked off, tee off. This is it.
Scobody boom boom. Scobody dog.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
How much did gerrymandering impact your vote on Tuesday? 844-967-2789. I think a lot of the conversation and punditry since Tuesday with that massive 11-point win for Judge Janet, or I should say Justice-elect Janet Protasiewicz, has people pointing to abortion, which I think is correct.
Yes.
But for those of us who are nerds and who have been caring about our getting fair maps for a long time now, I think a lot of us, that was also why we were fired up to vote. And so if you... how much did that impact you when you were going to the polls on Tuesday? 844-967-2789. Because even if it was just a little bit, there's some good news for you already, just 2 days later. This comes from the Cap Times this morning. Jet Kelly wrote this 4 hours ago. And it's basically just the indication and the announcement that soon there will be a lawsuit filed to start the process of challenging our current redistricting maps.
Yay!
So the details of the case is that Law Forward, which is a liberal law firm, and, you know, I think it's probably not a fair equivalence to say they are the counterbalance to WIL or Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. But as far as I think a lot of some of these cases, when we talk about redistricting and some of the, you know, Democrat, like the legislative things, sometimes they go head to head with WIL, right? But Law Forward, they plan to challenge the state's voting maps based on the assertion that partisan gerrymandering violates the Wisconsin Constitution. So it is not filed yet. This is not an announcement of the lawsuit being filed, but it will be filed within the weeks or even months after Justice-elect Protasiewicz is sworn in on August 1st. And so this was an interview that happened yesterday with Nicole Saffer, who is the executive director of Law Forward, and which was based in Madison. And she said she and her colleagues are, quote, still putting together the pieces about what we think the most successful arguments will be. And they have not started writing briefs yet. But the difference, I think, what I understand of the approach that they're going to be taking is that the challenge isn't going to ask the court to relitigate the lawsuit that determined that the state's current legislative and congressional voting districts, like from last year. And so that was the lawsuit from last year. Instead, because it, as how many lawsuits have happened, they basically have said they can't go through federal courts anymore because federal courts have just kicked it back to the states.
And it's a waste of time.
But basically, as far as I understand it, this all out of all the different gerrymandering cases across the country that have made it through the court system, and what the Supreme Court has basically said, not my circus, not my monkeys, this is a state issue. And so this is now a state issue, which is why Tuesday's election on this issue was so important. And so Saffer said that the new lawsuit will focus on how the extreme partisan gerrymander that we have is a violation of the Wisconsin Constitution. And I guess in this Constitution, have you read the Wisconsin Constitution? I feel like I should. I don't know how much I would understand, but I feel like I should read.
It sounds like a really fun read.
Super fun.
Yeah.
I do. You know, I have these moments sometimes of feeling like, oh, like going back to school, because I like learning stuff. I would never want to go to law school, but like, I want to know the law better. And so, but I also think about like, when would I actually have the time to do that? But anyways, generally the idea is that the Wisconsin's Constitution guarantees free and fair government. And the argument is that our gerrymandered maps have consolidated power so much that they are not accountable to voters. And so that is obviously then not a free and fair government. And so the argument will be that, and they have to prove that, which will be, for me, not a lawyer, but fascinated by this, I think will be super interesting. So call me a nerd, but I'm pretty fired up about how this will proceed. And so how much of it for you, Jane, when you were voting on Tuesday, like what was your driving factors?
Well, it was certainly a combination of both the abortion issue and the gerrymandered maps, because as we've talked about many times, I personally do not want concealed carry, permitless concealed carry in Wisconsin. I think that's dangerous. I think it's backwards. If you're a gun owner, great. I don't want to take your guns. My brother-in-law is a gun owner. He's a concealed permit carry holder. I just want people to have training. And I don't think that that is extreme. I don't think that's an extreme position. And while we're on the subject, you know, we aren't the only nerds who are going to be watching this, because this is of national attention. MSNBC's Alex Wagner last night did a little segment on Wisconsin's super special gerrymander.
Over the past 13 years, Wisconsin elected and then reelected Republican Governor Scott Walker. Then the state elected and then reelected Democratic Governor Tony Evers. Wisconsin also has one Republican senator and one Democratic senator. According to the Pew Research Center, the state has an even split between Democratic and Republican-leaning voters. So every statewide election in Wisconsin reflects that dead even split. But then there is this. This is the congressional delegation from Wisconsin. Republicans outnumber Democrats 3-1. The same is true in their state Senate and their state assembly, where Republicans have had overwhelming majorities for the past decade, despite the fact that the state is evenly split by voters from both parties. So how is that even possible? It is possible because Wisconsin Republicans have engaged in some of the most aggressive gerrymandering in the country, building themselves almost permanent majorities. It is a crystal clear example of the way that Republicans have broken democracy to cement minority rule. But that may all be about to change.
844-967-2789. You can call or text. Did the gerrymandering issue, is that what sent you out to the polls on Tuesday with just incredible turnout? I'm so proud.
I'm so proud too. I mean, 1.8 million people is wild.
Yeah.
For a non-presidential year. And so, and I just think it's, you know, hearing from other people that are outside of the fair maps drum that's been beaten for the last 10 years, and how much with that last 10 years of people who have been trying to hammer in this message of connecting the dots on why this is such a big deal and why this is created a lack of representation of what the things that people actually want, how much people have actually finally registered that. And that was their a motivating factor. I don't think it was the motivating factor, but a motivating factor for people. And I guess if it was a motivating factor for you, does this news make you happy as far as, you know, 2 days later, already having a conference yesterday or an interview yesterday saying, yes, the wheels are in motion? Because I've heard, I don't know if we talked about this yesterday, but I've heard that there is a timeline, a realistic timeline where this could get filed and make it through the courts and make it to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, that there could be a decision in time to even potentially get new maps by 2024 in the fall, which feels so fast.
I didn't realize the law could ever move that fast.
Well, and because to me, it thinks it's not even just the law at that point. And maybe we can get someone from Law Forward to come on, which would be great to talk to them, because it's, I just think about the drama that went into, or like having watched the redistricting process last year, of there was, there's competing maps, because like we still would, if we were to overturn these maps, there's also the, like, what changes? Because also in the Constitution right now, it says that the legislators get to draw the maps. And so what we want to have happen, or at least what I want to have happen, is have a nonpartisan committee that are not elected officials be responsible for drawing the maps. But I need to talk to someone as far as if this goes the way of getting elevated to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, they say that our current maps are, they rule against them. They say that they are gerrymandered and they violate the Wisconsin state constitution. What happens then to get maps in place in time for a fall 2024 election?
844-967-2789. Taking your calls. And Tom is on the phone from Milwaukee. You wanted to talk about how quickly this could move, Tom.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Tom.
Oh, I didn't realize I was on. I'm sorry. Yeah, I would just point out that usually the wheels of justice move very slowly, but under Republican control, the Supreme and conservative control, the state Supreme Court has demonstrated over the past 4 or 5 years that they can move extremely fast because they just want to get it done and get it done for their pals. And so the Republicans were consistently trying to bypass appeals courts and regular courts and take it straight to the Supreme Court, which is very unusual, but it became a norm. Now that there's a progressive majority on the court, or there will be after August when she takes office, I suspect Republicans will demand that we go through the chain of command back the way it used to be and argue about that. Also, I don't want to sound like Eeyore here or anything, but people saying that, this is going to be settled by the state Supreme Court at worst or at best, and the feds are not going to get involved. I'm not so sure of that because, the Supreme Court of the United States really has in some cases actually invited lawsuits to appear on their
doorstep. Yeah. Tom, we gotta cut you off for right now. We got a hard break coming up, but 844-967-2789. You want to chime in, please do so.
All right, we'll take a break really quickly. We'll keep talking about this, and there is a potential another constitutional amendment coming our way, so we're going to talk about it. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
We'll have to wait and see. I'll call you back later.
Ready for a journey to Flavortown? Head over to Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill. They've been serving up the best food in Wrigleyville for 8 years and counting. From their famous smoked chicken wings to their tempura-battered cheese curds, every bite is a trip to flavor heaven. And with hospitality that's second to none, you'll feel right at home. So why wait until after the game? Rev up your taste buds and join them at Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill at 3478 North Clark Street in Chicago. Check out their menu on Facebook.
Don't settle for big box service and pricing when it comes to your flooring. Choose Straight Edge Flooring for quality and personalized service. A family-owned flooring company, they offer full-service flooring solutions from material to install, including on-site dust-free refinishing. Straight Edge Flooring installers are CFI certified and fully insured, with free in-home consultations to simplify your project. Choose Straight Edge Flooring. Log on straightedgewi.com. That's straightedgewi.com, or call 414-779-8931 and make your vision a reality.
Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Clear skies overnight with a low of 28. North winds around 5 miles an hour. Daytime highs approaching 48. Tomorrow, a blend of clouds and sun. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 32. Cloudy skies expected Saturday. Decreasing clouds by Sunday. Upper 50s Saturday. Mid 60s by Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair, and we are talking about the news that Law Forward, a liberal law firm in Madison, is making plans to file their lawsuit basically within weeks of Justice-elect Janet Protasiewicz taking the Wisconsin Supreme Court to try to move quickly on challenging our current maps, and potentially as quickly as trying to get new maps by 2024, which to me feels like light speed.
That would be
to actually get done. I would be over the moon if it was done by 2026. But who knows? I mean, if things are moving quickly, but again, as Tom, our caller in the last segment said, don't be so sure that the federal courts aren't going to try to potentially get involved.
Exactly. We have another caller, another Tom. This one from Richland County. Thanks for joining us, Tom. What do you want to say?
Hey, thanks. Just so you know, there's computer programs. You could do this in a couple hours or 15 minutes even once you put the data in. I was on common government.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not hard to do, so it's politically. But just realize that in 08, we had an election. We had a Democratic Assembly, a Democratic Senate, and a Democratic governor, and they did not want to make a nonpartisan commission like an Iowa-style thing, which is considered one of the best in the country. At least I think they started to mess it up, but it was. And because they thought that we could gerrymander in our favor. And so you got to be a little bit above board here and say, we screwed up, and it's our chance 14 or whatever years later to take care of the fact that we didn't do this right the last time. You can't gerrymander in your own favor. You got to make it fair, just like the Fair Maps Rep says.
Absolutely.
I'm told that
Dale
Schultz had been the Senate Majority Leader from around here. He's the Republican who I disagree with a lot of issues. But I'm told he went to speak with Doyle just before 2010 and said, should we do this commission right now? I can get the votes to help make it happen. And Doyle said no. So, you know, we're kind of responsible for the problem we set ourselves in.
That's a really good point, Tom. It is. It's an excellent point.
It is a really, and I completely agree with you, Tom. And I am, I've said this many times. It's not that I am like, let's try to figure out how to get Democrats up and down the ballot. What I am most excited about is the potential to have more compromising voices and people who are actually willing to govern and not just be committed to their party lines and party politics, but actually have representative government. We are a 50-50 state. We're not going to get rid of 50% of the population. We're going to have people that we don't agree with. We're going to have policies we don't always think are perfect. But the whole point is to try to get to a place where no one's thrilled, but everyone can live with it, right?
Well, and yeah, let's run on policies and let's see which person's policies is more popular. What an odd way to rule. And can I just say the other thing that just grinds me about this? Iowa lapped us again. Really? Wisconsin, as far as them using, they're having fear. I mean, come on, where's our pride?
But I'm pretty sure that's also what Michigan has put in place as far as having a nonpartisan committee that if you look at, while Democrats did take over their House, their Senate, and also Gretchen Whitmer is still governor, it was by very narrow margins that they won.
Right.
And they have very narrow margins in their House, which represents pretty much how close the popular vote was in those three parts of government for the midterm elections. And so that is, doesn't that sound nicer? Because it's also then it mitigates against having such fringe candidates who only represent either the Democrats or the Republicans in their districts, and they don't have to respond to you. And so that is the kind of what I am looking forward to. And I totally agree with Tom that Democrats screwed up.
Yep.
Democrats absolutely screwed up and got cocky thinking that they would win again in 2010. And they absolutely bear some of the burden of being part of where Wisconsin has gone in the last 12 yep. to 14 years.
Yep.
But live and learn. But and that's what I'm saying as far as there's the court pieces of it. And then if, knock on wood, these current maps do get struck down, I'm less clear on what the process is going to be moving forward to get new maps.
Right.
Because it seems like if it's just the legislature that draws new maps again, don't we just repeat this whole process? Because last time it took almost a whole year.
Yeah.
And so that's just, I'm less familiar with different scenarios.
And it doesn't have to take that long.
Well, yes. I mean, as far as the actual drawing of the maps, it's the agreeing on the maps that takes long,
yeah.
not the coming up with the map. You can go make maps on your own. You can input data and different criteria. And that was a big push from the People's Maps Commission last year end of 2021, beginning of 2022, of being able to submit and draw your own maps as far as drawing your communities of interest and keeping things compact as far as, you know, does it make sense that TOSA's split up into four different districts? Probably not.
That seems illogical.
It does seem illogical. All right. Well, when we, on the other side of the break, you know, it's interesting. I saw this even on Fox News, a clip that I was listening to this morning. For Janet Protasiewicz to have won by such a huge margin, and then simultaneously the conservative-backed referenda also to have passed, but two binding, one non, with huge margins. And so we spent some time yesterday as far as talking about how confusing the wording was. Is this the best way to make the changes to our state constitution when there isn't a lot of information out there on any of these ballots or these ballot initiatives? But it seems like we are potentially headed towards another one. And this time it has to do with how much control the governor should or should not have when it comes to allocating federal funds. So my question to you, how much power should the governor have when it comes to emergency funds? 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
CBS News Brief.
Ayes 73, 24 nays.
Two black Democratic legislators have been expelled from the Tennessee House of Representatives for protesting gun laws on the House floor. One of them is Justin Jones.
We said we want a ban on assault weapons. They said we're going to assault democracy.
Yeah!
Shameful. Shameful.
CBS News has learned Secret Service agents will testify before a federal grand jury today. CBS's Nicole Skenga.
Their appearance is connected to the special counsel Jack Smith's investigation into the handling of classified documents at Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate.
A proposed federal regulation would stop schools from banning transgender students from sports, says CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
It's in essence a compromise between those seeking to ban transgender athletes because they might have an unfair advantage and those trying to protect transgender athletes' rights to participate in sports consistent with their gender identity.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Max Inc. Radio presents Bomblastica 2023. It's Max Inc.'s 27-year anniversary party, and you're invited. Bomblastica at the Wisco on Willie Street, Saturday, April 15th. Max Inc. Radio's Jimmy K. Rocker and Terry Barr will broadcast live 6 to 9 p.m. Then live music from Eclipse record recording artist Carbellion. With special guest, Milwaukee's Wizard Hammer. And Mad City's own hard rockers, Iron Plow. It's Bomblastica 2023, Saturday, April 15th at the Wisco in Madison. Sponsored by Rocker Vodka and Hotel K Pet City. Presented by Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
The Devil's Advocates.
Aaron Mostofsky, who rioted at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, was dressed as Captain Caveman. QAnon shaman meets Law and Order?
Right. I mean, he pulled it off a whole lot better than Aaron Mostofsky.
Well, let me read a quote from the judge in this case. I hope you'll leave some of this fantasy world behind. Mostofsky was sentenced to 8 months in prison.
Looking at the guy, he might be one who loses his mattress on the first day. Breaking news.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Being a father is an honor, a challenge, a duty, a celebration, and a testimony. I want to be legendary for you because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And those questions confused a lot of people. No matter how, as I said, even lawyers were like, wait, what? When it came to the, especially the first two questions having to do with judges' discretion when setting the, setting bail and setting just the, now, what's the word I'm looking for? Basically what happens with defendants in between getting charged and getting convicted. And they both passed pretty, resoundingly. I think it was like 60-30, yeah. Like pretty decisively. And I had tons of people asking me for an explainer. We made an explainer, but even afterwards I had people saying they were talking to friends who didn't know what they were voting on. And the bigger question being like, well, is this the best way? As much as on the one hand, we want to be able to vote directly on certain policies, shouldn't there also be a little bit more of an informational, like, campaign as far as what you were voting on and a more describing the actual arguments for and against? But nevertheless, we are back to a situation where we may have to vote on another state constitution amendment again. So my question is, should the governor have less control and give more of that control over to the legislature? 844-967-2789.
I want to ask you a quick question. So before Governor Evers took office, the legislature, led by the Republicans, already took some power away from him, correct? After Scott Walker lost, they didn't like that. And so they took away some of his powers at the beginning.
And during their lame duck session, they did.
All right. Just double checking.
So this was published last Friday, and I grabbed it, but I think with the run up to the election, it did not get as much attention as maybe it deserved. But so this was last Tuesday that this was voted on. But a constitutional amendment limiting Wisconsin's governor's use of federal funds moves closer. So basically, there is a proposed constitutional amendment giving the Republican-controlled legislature control over how to spend federal funds allocated to the state. And that constitutional amendment could soon be on your next ballot. So this was in the Assembly Ways and Means Committee last Tuesday, and it was approved. This amendment was approved, and now it will get sent to the Assembly. And so if it gets approved by the full legislature, it would then go to us, the voters, to vote on. So and then if we voted yes, it would prohibit any executive branch official or department from allocating federal funds without first securing approval from the legislative committee.
Would this be permanent? I mean, if the next Republican candidate for governor would win, would they all of a sudden want to give those powers back to the governor? Would they be able to do that?
I think they would have to amend the Constitution again.
They'd have to amend
the amendment.
I feel
like this would be a permanent thing. I think so. I mean, that's why it's a little like, do you just think that you're not going to win again? But, you know, it would drastically limit the state's ability to quickly allocate emergency funds. So this is obviously in a reaction to the billions of dollars that every state, including Wisconsin, got during the COVID pandemic. And there was frustration over in the Republican legislature that Tony Evers' administration basically got unilateral control to allocate how those funds got distributed. And this amendment would want to challenge that. And if you think about emergency funds, there's probably an argument to say that having more unilateral control and decision-making speeds up the process in which those can get distributed, instead of the very slow process that sometimes gets stuck in courts when there is a challenge and when you have split government over how long it could take to get people the funds that they need. And so this feels like a power grab, not good governance.
844-967-2789. You can call or text and check in and let us know how you feel about this. Is this a good decision? Karina is on the phone joining us right now. What do you want to say, Karina?
Well, I think that the Republican obviously doesn't want that money to be distributed by Democratic officials, because they want to dedicate that money to Dunk Foundation so they can receive it and under the table. And it's always been that way, and it's horrible. But my question is, when you asking what kind of decisions are we talking about, actually? So there is the money, and there is the Evers deciding who he wants to have that money. Am I understanding that correctly? And why?
Yeah, so basically,
every time they have it.
So basically what I understand this to be is oh, sorry, Karina, but I'm going to answer your question. So basically what I understand this to be is that when there are federal funds, so say there was a huge disaster again in Wisconsin. Luckily, we don't have earthquakes, really. I mean, I think there's some on record. I once got corrected that there's that one time in that one year that we got an earthquake. But for the most part, we don't have hurricanes. We don't have earthquakes. We have tornadoes. We're less likely, I think, we on record have terrible tornadoes that are devastating. But you think about like FEMA and the ability to move quickly and get those funds allocated when it comes to federal dollars is so that there's not necessarily a fight between a bunch of lawmakers on how it gets distributed, because usually emergency funds indicate that there's an emergency.
Well, yeah, and it needs to get out quickly. And this was just going to put up another roadblock, right? If you have to go back to the Republican-controlled legislature, because after all, it is Robin Voss's money. 844-967-2789. We have Mike from the Falls on the line. Thanks for joining us, Mike.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I definitely feel as though the governor should not have any control over the funding. The governor's job the job of the governor is to be the person that runs the various agencies and the departments in the government. And Governor Evers definitely failed miserably as far as the COVID. There are people that waited for over a year and a half to get any of the relief that was necessary because he failed to place people in the positions necessary to allocate those funds and provide for it quickly. Now, as far as the legislature, at any time they can call a special meeting for a joint meeting. That's the reason why they've got the both Democrat and Republican joint finance committees in both the Senate and the Assembly to take care of funds for the state of Wisconsin. The governor is basically a bureaucrat. His job is to run the day-to-day workings of the government. The job of the legislature is to enact laws and to control the purse. And the reason for that is you do not want to go, as Evers clearly demonstrated, the worst person to be control of emergency dollars is a bureaucrat, because they do not act. Well, they just don't.
Mike, let me ask you, is there other states that do that? Because I was under the impression that a lot of states, what?
No, of course there are. That's the way the federal government's supposed to be operating. But unfortunately, we've got a unicameral situation where we got a president making executive orders, and the legislatures are not involved with hardly anything at all right now. And that's a problem, because things do not get done. And the thing is, the reason why if we were just going to have the governor do everything, we wouldn't have a legislature. The whole purpose of the legislature is that you have the various things that you've discussed earlier. They've got various people throughout the state have various needs. All those people, their representative, are being elected to represent them for all these various issues. So who better than determine the allocation of the money needs to be than instead of one guy overlooking the whole state? Well, the whole state doesn't need all the money.
Well, thanks for the call, Mike. I think it's interesting. And, you know, if we not have such gerrymandered maps, maybe I would have more inclination to agree as far as a more fair process versus a one-party rule, which is what we live under now. But as far as I didn't want to get into too many of the details, but I was under the impression that there was a lot of people who were very happy with how our money was spent, especially because we were the number one state when it came to supporting small businesses,
right,
and getting people back up and running. And so I was less familiar with Mike's examples of how much of a failure it was. Obviously, it was a hard time for anyone in any kind of executive branch as far as trying to deal with the funds. But I don't know. I mean, I would love to maybe, and that's something I can look up later as far as other states and how they deal with emergency funds. Obviously, when it comes to the budget, that is a legislative branch, and they go through their process, and as they are going right now. Actually, it looked like a great turnout yesterday for the first public hearing that was in Waukesha.
Yeah.
For the budget. And so that I agree with. But as far as it's in the same way that he was saying, each of these people have been elected, sure, but so is the governor by more than 50% of the state. And so this is what checks and balances are. And so potentially I just see the argument as far as how much slower things become if this becomes a process where everyone gets buy-in on how to spend money that needs to get out quickly.
844-967-2789. You can call and you can text. 608, check it in. Does anyone seriously think the gerrymandered GOP legislature wouldn't use this chance to sit on the money, do nothing, and then blame Evers Biden for a lack of action? This is exactly what Walker did with the train and broadband money in 2011. No way.
That is a good point. That is a very good point. But just as a procedural, how this would actually work. So basically, this is an amendment that's already passed in one session already. So for how amendments end up getting on our ballots is it needs to pass twice in two separate sessions. And then once it passes in both chambers this time around, the amendment then goes to voters statewide. And so I don't know if this would be as soon as our spring nonpartisan election 2024, which would likely, depending on how quickly the Republican presidential primary gets decided, could have a large turnout as far as if there's still multiple people who are in the running for the Republican candidacy. It seemed topical because we've just went through this on Tuesday.
Yeah.
As far as I'm still not decided one way or another as far as, is this the best way to make these changes? Because on the one hand, I want people to be able to vote on things. But on the other hand, I think there is a responsibility to make sure people know what they're voting for.
Well, and if this does make it on the ballot, you can guarantee that once the lawyers are done writing it, you will have no idea what they're talking about.
Well, I think that's actually, it's already written.
Oh, they wrote it already.
So if approved, the resolution would ask two questions, similar to how the cash bail questions were split up into two different questions. So the first would ask if the Constitution should be amended, quote, to provide that the legislature may not delegate its sole power to determine how monies shall be appropriated.
Come on! That's come on!
Yes. So, and then the second question would ask if the Constitution should, quote, prohibit the governor from allocating any federal monies the governor accepts on behalf of the state without the approval of the legislature by joint resolution or as provided by legislative rule.
And also, we want sloths to be able to allowed to drive. Just throw it in there. It's just going to be equally as confusing as what you just read. That's infuriating.
So I guess the only thing to be doing now is continue to talk about this and not have it be a 11th hour thing. And so we will. We will continue to talk about this. I'll continue to do more research on everything Mike said. But we'd still love to hear from you if you think this is a good idea or a bad idea. 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Ready for a journey to Flavortown? Head over to Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill. They've been serving up the best food in Wrigleyville for 8 years and counting. From their famous smoked chicken wings to their tempura battered cheese curds, every bite is a trip to flavor heaven. And with hospitality that's second to none, you'll feel right at home. So why wait until after the game? Rev up your taste buds and join them at Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill at 3478 North Clark Street in Chicago. Check out their menu on Facebook.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show, and we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at thericksmithshow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Weather brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese and Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop.
Home of buttery popcorn treats and make your mouth water.
Tangy cheddar and jalapeno, dill pickle and Texas cheddar, and more. civicmedia.us/shop.
Part of the proceeds benefit Wisconsin athletic programs.
Here's your updated forecast on The Shaw. High of 48 today under partly cloudy skies. Easterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies tonight, low is around 32. Cloudy tomorrow, highs level off around 57. Temperatures well above average Sunday and Monday, with highs from the mid-60s to the upper 60s. Chance for scattered rain showers Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair, and it is a lovely day.
It is.
Like the sun is shining, starting to feel a little bit like spring as we are April 6th, marching towards hopefully some warmer weather. Yes. I am ready. I am very ready for the heat and to not have to wear a coat. How about you?
We're getting there.
Have your daffodils sprung yet?
My early daffodils sprung yesterday. They did. So it's officially spring. That doesn't mean we can't.
It's officially spring.
It doesn't mean we can't still get snow. This is Wisconsin. We've had snow in May.
That is true. But at least around our house, the snow looks basically gone.
Yeah,
it has been melted. All that rain really washed it away the other night.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I saw this yesterday, and it touched my heartstrings because. You know, it's not that I followed casually New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern as far as her, you know, the challenges that she had as far as the mass shooting that happened there, how she handled COVID. But I just appreciated, because she's fairly close in age to me, what she was able to do as a leader of her country. But she ultimately, like, pretty unexpectedly stepped down in January, saying she just had nothing left in the tank. And she gave her farewell speech to Parliament yesterday. And for me, as a woman, I just really appreciated it, even if it's really cheesy. So let's play the clip.
Now, I cannot determine what will define my time in this place, but I do hope I've demonstrated something else entirely, that you can be anxious, sensitive, kind, and wear your heart on your sleeve. You can be a mother or not. You can be an ex-Mormon or not. You can be a nerd, a crier, a hugger. You can be all of these things. And not only can you be here, you can lead just like me. Nō reira, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa.
And as someone who is anxious and sensitive and I think kind, I want to believe kind,
you are kind,
and wears their heart on their sleeve, and a nerd and a crier and a hugger, I do believe that you can be all those things and be a leader.
Absolutely.
And I thought it was so interesting. I think it's so interesting because of the generational change of women who largely were the ones to break the glass ceiling in business and in politics, who I think there was a period of time for a certain generation of women who felt like they had to behave like men or show up like men
and dress,
in the office,
and dress like them.
and dress like men and not show emotion and be a ball buster and present in a certain way that was more masculine in order to be promoted and be and demand authority
and be credible.
And like I said, I think 3 or 4 years older than me. I think she was elected when she was 37. And she can't be much older than that now. I think she's 41 or 42. But, you know, similar to the Finnish prime minister who her party just lost. And so she just stepped down, but she's 37. She's my age. And I just think that there is what was made possible by the women who came before us, who maybe felt like that they had to be more like men, is now a next generation of women who can be women and can be themselves and be accepted as leaders. It's still hard. I mean, listen, she's stepped down. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern stepped down because she's like, I don't have enough left in the tank to be a mom, to be prime minister.
Right. She's 42, by the way.
But it's 42. There you go.
42. Yep.
But it's, go ahead.
No, just, yeah, she's 42.
Oh, yeah. And so she, I just liked that sentiment a lot as far as being able to be fully your authentic self instead of being something else in order to look like what a leader is supposed to look like, because I think that definition has changed as well. And she also was wearing a fabulous feathered cape.
Which I'm sure has some indigenous ties to New Zealand.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. But someone said that she looked like she was about to jump on a dragon.
Well, hey, Daenerys was a pretty good leader. And you know what?
Until the end.
Yeah, the whole killing everyone, that was bad. But I think if you look at Jacinda Ardern's speech, compare that to Dan Kelly's speech. Who embodies the bigger person, the person you would want to follow, the person that you would support? I think Jacinda's got something there.
Well, speaking of Dan Kelly, I'm trying to look up and see if I can confirm this right now. I think he deactivated his Twitter.
Really?
Yeah. I got a text this morning saying Dan Kelly deactivated his Twitter. And I'm looking right now and at a tweet where he was tagged and he no longer can click on anything.
Well, I heard some speculation yesterday and some, I can't remember who I was listening to, that he might not even stay in Wisconsin anymore.
So when you listen to his speech, it kind of sounded like he's like, I've had a good run, but I'm out of here.
I'm going to go to Connecticut.
Where would he go?
He's going to go to Connecticut because he can stay in Tim Michaels' guest house.
But Connecticut's not a red state. I mean, that's certainly not where you're going to be like a panacea of like your ideals personified.
But there are,
probably going to Florida, there, right? At least it's warm in Florida.
You have a good point. And there are plenty of Republican parties all over the country who I'm sure will be happy to hire him.
It will be really interesting to see if he walks, as we were talking yesterday, if he walks back any of the things that he said, or if he's just kind of going to go into the night and forget about his any kind of like public persona and just try to live his life as a lawyer and a private citizen. Or if he actually comes back and is like, well, like, I was a little emotional. See, it's okay to be emotional. Just own it.
And that's what will never happen. That's what will never happen. I was emotional. I said the wrong thing. That apology will never come from him. I don't think.
No, probably not. But who knows? Crazier things have happened. All right. Well, coming up for the rest of the show at 12:30, we are going to be talking to Waukesha County Democrats Chair Matt Moreno is going to be here to talk about what worked, what didn't work, what he's learned so far as chair to slowly loosen the grip that the GOP has had on Waukesha County. And then at 1 p.m., we're going to be talking to Mayor of Wausau, Katie Rosenberg, who on the one hand, we were excited to talk about. Wausau was just named the best place to buy a house on a budget. But also, she made an announcement yesterday as far as her 2024 plans. So that's coming up at 1. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Love it.
Don't settle for big box service and pricing when it comes to your flooring. Choose Straight Edge Flooring for quality and personalized service. A family-owned flooring company, they offer full-service flooring solutions from material to install, including on-site dust-free refinishing. Straight Edge Flooring installers are CFI certified and fully insured, with free in-home consultations to simplify your project. Choose Straight Edge Flooring. Log on straightedgewi.com. That's straightedgewi.com, or call 414-779-8931 and make your vision a reality.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Plenty of people start something great in their 40s and 50s. Getting your retirement savings on track is no different. Go to aceyourretirement.org, and in 3 minutes, you'll get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.